Thank you guys for allowing me to live my absolute dream. I wouldn't change a thing.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
His first Super Bowl was the 9/11 Super Bowl.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I tell you, what Tom Brady just did gives me goosebumps.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Brady goes out there and wins the Super Bowl.
Earlier on the show, Fox Sports rules analyst Mike Pereira. Coming up, Tampa Bay Times Bucks writer Rick Stroud. Plus, your phone calls and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yep, our number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air here on the Roku channel. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Get that phone number handy. We're about to do what we say in the radio business is a call to action, which is come up with a concept, an idea, and say you chime in and you give us yours.
React to us.
Didn't think you'd go hacksaw with me at the top of the show. But at any rate, we're having a lot of fun here. Hour number one, we talked with Mike Pereira, the head of NFL refs from back in the day, about what we just saw this past weekend. So many people still talking about the officiating. Andy Reid is talking right now. His first press availability, press-wide availability since winning the AFC Championship game. I mean, and I'd imagine today's the last day he's asked about Mahomes' ankle, right? What's to ask him about? Okay, that looked pretty damn good in the freezing cold. Now he's going to be indoors in Arizona. Interestingly enough, the season ending for the Chiefs where it began, if you remember, week one for the Chiefs was the boat racing of the Arizona Cardinals, where it was like prior to kickoff, all the concept that even I took this cheese a little bit by saying the Chiefs wouldn't win the division but still make the playoffs. No Tyreek Hill. How's this offense going to look? To say they smoked the Arizona Cardinals, they filleted them, they smoked them, however you like your ribs is how they cooked them up. And it began the whole season downward spiral for the Arizona Cardinals. Both, by the way, the Eagles and Chiefs beat the Arizona Cardinals in Arizona this year. And I guess they both measured the drapes and checked on the way things will look in that room for themselves for Super Bowl 57. And that's part of the reason why J.J. Watt's our first guest next week. He played them both. Played them both. He's now a retiree sitting there in Arizona. I think he tweeted it, Tom Brady, saying that the tee time is 10 a.m. every single day. Be out there. Be there. Be square. And he and Tom are going into the Hall of Fame together. Kind of will ask J.J. about that. Yeah. So much to talk about with J.J. next week. But, you know. And then we had Joe Banner on yesterday saying this could be the first of many times these two teams face each other in the Super Bowl, that they're built in a way to last. They've got dynamic young quarterbacks who can run and pass and have hearts of lions to lead. Defensive players who can affect the game, offensive players who can flip the field, and coaches who are pretty darn smart and dynamic with their offenses. And so there's that potential for a Groundhog Day in that front. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. Let's take a phone call, waiting for a while. Our friend Jeff in Detroit. What's up, Jeffrey? How you been?
What's going on, Unc?
What's going on,
everything, yes, fellas?
What's on your front?
Listen, first of all, and while you were sitting there talking to Mike, something just dawned on me. When a coach messes up, he has to get in front of a microphone and explain himself. If a player messes up on a play, he has to get in front of a microphone. Why doesn't a referee have to do the same? If he makes a blown call or something like that, if the NFL trusts your judgment enough to put you in charge of the game and making a play that could possibly cost a person a game, then you should be able to get in front of a microphone and justify why or why not you did something, and or say, hey, I made a mistake. How many times have coaches had to do that? I think referees should have to do the same, at least in playoff situations.
Well, but before you move on, else you wanted to ask, Jeff, just to hit on that, all leagues make a lead official after a game, certainly when there's a controversial call, available for one pool reporter to ask a question or a series of questions of the official, and they do have to account But it is not in some mass press conference mosh pit. It is just one person, member of the media, who is chosen that night prior to the game to be the pool reporter talking to the official. That's all that it's any league. The NBA, you see it. The NFL does it. I think Major League Baseball does it as well. That's the way leagues handle it. They don't want to put their officials out there in front in the same manner that you say a coach or a player has to take account. That's just the way it goes. So what else is on your mind?
I wanted to talk a little bit. Thanks for clearing that up for
you
me.
Got it.
I wanted to talk a little bit about Brady. 43.4%. That's the percentage that man was in Super Bowls. 23 years playing, went to 10 Super Bowls, won 7
That's
of them.
That's crazy.
He's an example of what you're perceived as, working to what you want to become. Extraordinary. Didn't have extraordinary gifts physically or anything like that, and is possibly going to be the best thing that we've ever seen on a football field, which started us kicking around a conversation in a barbershop.
Mm-hmm.
We said to ourselves, what if, and this is just, you know, purely hypothetical, what if Michael Vick had the work ethic, study, and discipline of Tom Brady? What would we say about him in history? Because he had all of the physical gifts, but, you know, everything else kind of, you know, the on-field situations with Michael Vick. Where would he be if he had that type of discipline and that work ethic that man had?
Great question. Thanks for the call, Jeff. I mean, Jim Mora once told me, you know, he told the story. Was it on this show or was it on NFL Network? Thankfully, they all meshed together. Is that when he was coaching Vic and saw that Vic wasn't, showing the attributes that our friend Jeff in Detroit just said Brady showed and had Vic had the difference. So the coaches knew that and once upon a time gave Vic a DVD, interestingly enough, as you remember the Duckett Dunn Vic years, was called DVD. They gave him a DVD and they said, all these plays, you need to look at them. This is exactly what we think you can do to get better. And he put a $100 bill in it. And Vic gave it back to him the next day. And he's like, I watched it all, coach. And he goes, good. Let's go over it later on. Sure, no problem. And he got the DVD back and he opened it up and the $100 bill was still in there. He hadn't watched it. So you can't teach it. I mean, you can try. I mean, you lead the so-called horse to water, but can't make him drink. And I think Vic has admitted that too, and as we all know, you know, he's come on the air and he's admitted to that. You could say that, and I'm not going to go down the road of, well, I think this current player should take note. I mean, we can all sense who's out there right now and has some incredible physical attributes and may not be up to their potential. But you either wake up with it or you don't, as I think Brady showed. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. It is Groundhog Day. It's Groundhog Day. So Punxsutawney Phil emerged from his crevasse. What is it? His home? His little hole.
He kind of got pulled out, Rich.
Okay.
He doesn't get emerged.
Hole in the ground.
Punxsutawney.
And he saw his shadow.
Ugh.
How can they tell that this beast has seen his shadow? I don't know. They know?
Sounds like a scam.
Anyway, they said he saw his shadow.
Oh, no, Chris, it's very accurate. Very accurate.
Which means six more weeks of winter.
But I'm like you, TJ. I believed this for so many years of my life. Like, oh, my God, this groundhog is going to snow some more?
It's at 6 weeks past what the date?
Yes.
By which you turn from winter to spring? Is it that official solstice? Is that what it is?
No, I think it's from today.
That's a good question. Does that mean six more weeks from when you thought it was going to end? Or 6 weeks from today?
If he didn't see a shadow, then winter's over on the spot. Yeah. The first week of February. No.
That means early spring.
No,
but
early.
Who the hell knows, right? But at any rate, currently doing right now, you're watching the brilliant film. Brilliant Bill Murray fronted
so good
film. Okay. That was directed by Harold Ramis, yes, who a lot of people may remember. He was in Ghostbusters. He had the glasses on. He was also Egon. Bill Murray's friend in Stripes. And he wrote, I believe he wrote this and directed this film. But at any rate, it's brilliant. Wakes up, lives the same day over and over and over again until he gets his life straightened out and then lives out the day in the most positive way possible and wakes up the next day. So, Chris.
Yes.
I have a question for you and everyone else out there at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. If you could relive one sports day in your life, what day would that be? And I will give that to you first. What's the one day?
I had a lot of great sports days. You know, just professionally, my team's won a lot in the last 20 years.
Oh, God.
You guys have heard all that.
Sort of like Rich's basketball team.
That's true. Fantasy basketball.
Even college. You know, Syracuse won a national title in 2000.
So you have a lot to choose from.
I have a lot to choose
from. An embarrassment of riches.
There was the day I hit 7 threes in a high school game.
Could be that if you'd like.
Which was a school record for a long time.
The Al Bundy of Maine prep.
I even threw a game-winning touchdown pass in overtime once, and I took my helmet off and ran around the field like Brett Favre. But I'm going to choose the most recent of my sports team's championships. The fourth Boston Red Sox World Series title, October 28th, 2018. Why, might you ask? Well, it was the only one I was in person for.
Okay.
It was out here in Los Angeles, game 5 on a Sunday. I went to the game, and more importantly, it was who I went with. I went with my longtime friend, one of the first friends when I moved to Maine when I was 12.
Nice.
He was my college roommate. We played sports together in high school. He was my college roommate. And then he was my roommate out here in Los Angeles for 8 years. And so him and I went to the game together, both obviously diehard Red Sox fans. And we watched him win the game. It was awesome. Right down to Chris Sale striking out Manny Machado to end the game. It
now,
was fantastic.
The question I have for you, because this is Groundhog Day, and you'd be reliving it over and over and over again.
Yep.
Would you at one point go up, run out on the field? Because you know you're going to, it starts from scratch the next day. You're not going to wind up in jail.
Yep.
Would you run out on the field, go up to Mookie Betts and say to him, you can't leave. I know you're looking around here. By the way, this is where you will go to.
Yeah.
You cannot leave no matter what. Just in case you do wake up the next day, it is the next day and you save Mookie Betts from leaving. Would you do something like that?
1,000%. I will probably do that every single time just to really drive home the point. I'll also probably run out into the stands in left field where Steve Pierce's first inning home run lands. I'll probably catch that.
Okay.
I might, knowing that Manny Machado is going to swing at such a terrible pitch to end the game, I'll probably rip the ball away from Chris Sale and throw it in the dirt because I know that he's going to swing and miss.
This
he's
guy.
Pretty terrible. So just so I can get the game-winning save, I'll probably do all of those things.
But
yeah,
you'd hope to prevent Mookie from actually staying in
Los Angeles.
That would
probably be the most important.
Yeah, I don't think that would help. Yeah. I don't think it would stop it. You never know. Good try.
Thanks,
Mike. What's yours? What's yours, Mike?
We actually spoke about mine yesterday. Super Bowl 36. I would love to go back that day when the Patriots and Tom Brady won their first of the many Super Bowls.
Look at you on the left.
And what's great is
oh my gosh.
I took that in the. I did not go on the field the entire week. I had a big you can't go on the field thing until the morning of the game.
You mean your own personal superstition?
People told me. Because it's your first Super Bowl that you're doing. You got to wait. That Sunday, I went out. It was like one of those, you can't go out.
In the same way that when we do COVID testing here every week, you've got to be the last one to test because otherwise you're going to have it.
Superstitious like that.
Got it.
So that upright that I took that picture on is the upright that Vinatieri kicks the ball to win it.
And, of course, you two and Paul McCartney being there.
I would change a lot of things those days.
What would you do?
I did not leave the truck. For halftime, because I do the halftime show.
But this is Groundhog Day, wouldn't you?
I would go to see U2 on the field, which I didn't get to see. I watched on a
little
monitor.
But you can go up to Bono. Like, you'd go up to
Bono. On the stage and just play guitar.
I would go on the field.
You could take Edge's guitar away and start
Actually, that's not how Groundhog Days work. It's you'd have to do the same thing that you did that day.
Well, at some point, as you know, in the movie, Bill Murray starts driving. He's driving angry, right? I mean, at one point.
He learns how to play piano.
He stole the groundhog.
Yeah, but I mean, this isn't back in the future. We're not changing the future.
This is Groundhog Day.
Groundhog Day, you can do whatever you want.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter. When you wake up, it's the same day again.
Then you get your life right, and at some point, you're moving on. But you get to relive it over and over again.
I smashed a really nice watch, a Breitling watch.
Oh, take your watch off.
I would take the watch off. I destroyed a Breitling. Brockman.
You could run on the field and catch a touchdown.
I would have caught Vinatieri's field goal.
You could hear Summerall going, who's this guy on the field?
I don't know.
Touchdown.
Pat, maybe they should play for overtime.
Brady, I would have tried to get the first ball.
Wait a minute. It's that guy, that sound guy that always comes up to me whose name I don't remember. Touchdown. What do you got over there, TJ? What's yours?
I thought we were talking about, you know, sports memories. This guy's talking about watches and busting watches.
No,
and I thought we were talking about pro sports.
Yeah,
he's talking about hitting 7 threes in a rec league game.
High school.
Okay. I mean, look, you know, I've been fortunate enough to be alive for four of my team's Super Bowl wins. Three,
nice.
I do remember. You know, one basketball, one baseball. But, you know, if I was going to say if there's something I could go back and relive, it would be time spent with my grandfather, because that was my best friend. And we watched baseball together. And
yes.
I learned how to, like, you know, really read by reading box scores to him from Dodger games.
Nice.
So he's the one who got me obsessed with wrestling. So I would say to go back to March 29th, 1987.
Look at that.
At the Jaffa Mosque in Altoona.
Wow.
On closed circuit TV, before they had pay-per-view, me and my grandpa went and watched WrestleMania 3. And in front of 295,000 people in the Silver Dome, Hulk Hogan slammed Andre the Giant. And it was the greatest thing that ever happened in wrestling. So I would go back and just relive that moment with my grandpa, because that was awesome.
In the Silver Dome?
Yeah, that's where it was.
That's where it was.
Silverdome. Yeah. 90,000 people.
Well, I mean, the attendance varies anywhere from 90,000 to like 150,000, depending on.
Sure, right.
I just said 220,000.
Remember, they used to have
people.
That curtain, like probably the largest curtain ever,
right?
To curtain off half the stadium, probably for WrestleMania.
Yeah, that curtain wasn't there that day.
But not that day.
But for me, it was just like, you know, me and my grandpa to share those, to go back and just like, you know, watching a baseball game with him or watching basketball with him. And he's a guy who, like, he'd predict things. We were watching the Buster Douglas Mike Tyson fight. Oof. He called in the fourth round that Mike Tyson was going to lose the fight. And I'll never forget it. I was like, are you out of your mind? Mike Tyson can't lose. And he lost. You know, he'd predict stuff. So I don't know. But going back at that moment would be pretty dope.
I like it. Well, my moment does involve the state of Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And I would, if I could choose a sports moment to live over and over and over again, the day it would be the day Michigan beat your Seton Hall Pirates.
I was there.
Okay. It would be the day that Glenn Rice, you know, shot the lights out. He was the most outstanding player of the tournament. Ramil Robinson made the free throws. And the reason why, first of all, I'd be back in college.
I was about to say, you were there.
Number one, I was in college. Well, that night, I watched the game with my fraternity brothers in my fraternity, but earlier in the day, I had drawn the short straw at the Michigan Daily, the greatest student publication in the history of higher learning. I was part of the sports editor group that wasn't at the game, and I drew the short straw of locking the newspaper up. So I had to take in the copy from Seattle, edit it, and make sure that the newspaper locked. So I was running to there as everyone else was running to the center of campus to celebrate. I was like a salmon going upstream. And I wasn't, you know, drinking at the fraternity house like the rest of my fraternity brothers.
But you had one or two, I bet.
I don't know. I mean, I had a job to do, you know, like and so I would go back, and if I had to relive it over and over again, I would get bombed. Okay. One time I would totally like screw the newspaper and just go to the center just to see what the celebration was like. Another time I'd get bombed, I'd probably find that one girl I was too afraid to ask out, you know, just to help, you know what I mean? Just go for it and just go for it. Since I was, you know, another time I'd probably rip out one of those parking meters and throw it, you know, like everyone else was doing that night. Oh, yeah. I'd go back to college and just keep reliving that night over and over and over again.
Yeah,
And that was my first taste of winning in a big championship in college.
How long did it take you to finish work before you could then go join the celebration?
It was over.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They didn't party all night?
TJ, it was on the West Coast.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, the game didn't end till like midnight.
Yeah.
And then the copy would come in after the press. I think I got home at like 3 a.m. that night.
Wow.
Yeah. And this was back in the day when they had to like set the type.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Run the press.
Run the press.
And that smell.
But I would relive that just so I could be back in college. You know, I'd go say hello to Desmond when he was a freshman. You know, I mean, I'd live my best life. back in college one more day. Over and over and over again.
You think we need one more?
Thank you.
All right, we'll get one
more. All right, here's one more. Mike, I know yours was very heartfelt.
Yes.
But here it is. This is, I think, collectively, this is the day we prefer to all live together, just to see if this is true or not. Go up there on the screen. It's the day that Mike Del Tufo invented the K-Corner, April 19th, 1984. We would want to go there just to see.
Mike Del Tufo?
If you are telling us the truth.
I showed you the article from the New York Times.
You showed us the New York Times did quote you as saying that you're in charge of the K-Corner, but you didn't create it.
No, I told you I never created it. These guys, other guys.
Yeah, the other guys left, and Mike was still there.
So I would go there just to tell these guys, don't leave. The New York Times is about to get here.
There's a reporter parking his car right now.
You're the one who's been bringing these backward K's for Dwight Gooden starts.
Don't leave. Sherlock's gonna take credit for your K-Corner.
You've been schlepping here to Queens on the 7 train with your backward K's and your frontward K's against the Phillies, against the Padres. The Times is about to come and do a story on you, and you're leaving, and you're going to let this jamoke from New Jersey take the credit.
I would have gone in the outfield and caught Gary Carter's winning home run.
There you go.
At the end of the game.
Yeah, now that I think about it, I might have done different things now that my mind is now racing.
There you go. All right.
You know.
Okay.
I did love the Andre Hulk Hogan moment, but you're talking about going back to college?
There's still 2 hours left on the show. And you give us yours. What's your Groundhog Day moment that you'd like to relive? 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the show. Well, when we come back, Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times, let's get him on the phone. We're a little late for him, but hopefully he'll understand. We'll talk Tom Brady and so much more with him in a moment. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, the Rich Eisen Show desk. That's what I'm sitting at. Furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger is the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Our friend from the Tampa Bay Times, Rick Stroud, is back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Rick? Sorry we're a little late. We were talking about Groundhog Day and what day you'd want to relive. You know,
if we could change it, Rich, I got one. I swear to God this happened. One of my better friends at the time, best friends, whatever, made a play on a girl I was dating.
Yep.
And then we got in a fight, and he broke my nose. Weird. And then that night, my dog died. It was like a country music song. It was like, it was the weirdest thing. It was literally, that was the day I'd like to relive.
Well, no, my God, you don't want to relive that, Rick. There's going to be something.
I want to change the outcome. I don't know if I can save the dog, but I want to change the outcome.
Okay, all right, very good. Understood. But I got to tell you, your nose looks great on the photograph we have up on the screen, just so you understand. Understand. Yeah, it's all good. It's all worked out. I've met your wife. I know, you know, your life looks great. All right.
No, everything's fine.
Great. Yeah. Fantastic. So were you, let's put it this way, were the Bucks caught surprised by Brady's video yesterday?
I don't know about the video. They were told 2 hours or so before that. I think they're surprised by the timing. I think they thought, he had said he was going to take a little more time this year than he did, and he actually, it was Groundhog Day, right? February 1st again. So from that standpoint, maybe a little bit and disappointed a little bit, but surprised. I mean, Rich, if you lived what Brady experienced, and like we saw him every day, and I know people in the organization were much closer to it than even we were, coaches and whatnot, it was a lot. He suffered. And all that went on in his personal life, trying to prepare, the football team wasn't good enough for him to excel in a lot of areas. And it was just really a heavy lift. And, I'm not surprised because we talked about this when I talked to you last time. I really think that maybe the best, possibly the only option was going back to Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And, he was disappointed in how things went and probably disappointed a little bit in Todd Bowles, probably really disappointed in the offensive line. They fired a bunch of coaches. He'd have to come in, learn a new system. That's not a big deal. But, all that considered was he going to go out west? According to his dad, I read a column in the Boston Globe where his dad said he decided a week ago. Well, that would have been before Brock Purdy got hurt. I obviously didn't change his mind. So, it seemed like he was sort of running out of options, and it was just a really, really hard year for him. So I'm happy if he's happy with his decision. It doesn't surprise me. People around him, mm-hmm. and I had written this, really thought he was going to play. They thought it was very likely he would play again.
So do we know what caused him to sit on the dune and flip the flip the phone around and hit send on the video? Do we know? At all, Rick? What do you think?
I'd love to be the person that was watching Tom Brady like walking by. Hey, remember that day we saw him out? Yeah, he was actually retiring that day.
It's right. I was saying it's like some 75-year-old former teacher from New York who who moved down there with his metal detector looking for some precious metals and like, oh my goodness, look who this is. Be one of those.
Look like one take to me. I don't know.
Yeah, no.
No, I don't. Again, nothing Tom does is spontaneous, really, at this stage of his life. And I love the way he did it. I love that it was simple and less than a minute. And he let himself get emotional and into his feelings a little bit so we could see that. But I don't know that there was an actual tipping point, so to speak. I just think that probably, Rich, he probably was headed that way during the season. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll never go. I mean, you go back to the scene after the Ravens game.
Yep.
They lost 2 games in 4 days, and they were 3-5. And honest to goodness, felt for the guy. I mean, he sat there literally in full uniform with his head between his legs and not talking, not acknowledging anybody. Blaine Gabbert was sitting there trying to talk to him and didn't get up for like 20, 25 minutes. And then, the next day, his divorce was final. He announced his divorce. And so, that was the low point. He certainly bounced back from that. When you saw the weight loss, you saw so much stress on this guy. And he battled, man. He just battled. And he got him in there. He got him back in the playoffs. This has been a magical run in Tampa. He said he wouldn't change anything. I think there's some things he definitely would change, especially in the last year. But
what are those?
I think we have to.
What are those, Rick?
I think he would probably want a better football team, and I'm not blaming those guys. I mean, I think Jason Light did whatever Tom sort of wanted him to do, but You know, once Ryan Jensen went down, that took a huge bite out of their offensive line. Sure, and then you had the retirement of Ali Marpet. And listen, you know, think about the teams he played for here in Tampa, but the ones he wound up playing for last year or playing with last year, you know, no Gronk, no Antonio, and, you know, no AB, no Antonio Brown. I mean, regardless of his, you know, insanity at the end there, he was a hell of a player. You know, no Ali Marpet. You can go down the line. You know, they lost Alex Kappa to free agency. I mean, there's a lot of things that occurred, and that football team was not very good. And so I think he might have, you know, misjudged what they were building. And there were some bad breaks along the way, you know, with Godwin coming off an ACL, with Julio Jones getting hurt in the first week and all that stuff. But, yeah, I think he probably, and obviously he regrets having to, you know, miss 10 days of training camp. I mean, that is not the best recipe to get, you know, in sync with your receivers and some new guys that have come aboard. And it's just not the way Tom Brady works. It's just not the way he's prepared. So I think all of that is probably something he would change.
Tampa Bay Times, Rick Stroud right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's start turning the page here. Him retiring as a Buck. I know, you know, Robert Kraft went on CNN today saying, you know, I'd love to have him sign a one day with New England. Normally that sort of formality is just done and written off, but there's some serious cap ramifications, right? Like let's talk about the unwinding of the Brady relationship in Tampa. What's the scoop there, Rick?
Well, I think there's a process at some point. He would probably have to, you know, sign a one-year kind of minimum deal. They got to move money, you know, with the Bucks. He's got to go on a retirement list at some point. Mm-hmm. When that process is done, his you know, $35 million, $11 million of it would count on this year's salary cap, $24 million on next year's salary cap if they wait until after June 1st to put him on the reserve retired list. And so I think he'll be agreeable to that. I don't get the whole ceremonial one-day contract business. I mean, in my mind, I don't think Tom thinks that's necessary. Mm-hmm. We'll see if he does that, you know, to help his buddy Robert Kraft. But, yeah, procedurally, I think he's going to stay on the roster for a little while, even though he's announced his retirement to the world, just to give them some cap. It's similar to what Drew Brees did with the New Orleans Saints. You know, when he bowed out to reduce their cap stress. So actually, by retiring and not playing more, the Bucks will get some relief out of that. Rather than if he had gone somewhere else, it would have been the full $35 million.
And of course, they'll seek it, right? I mean, and Brady's the type to make sure that they're not hamstrung or caught on a hook for it. And I guess, you know, the entire time with Brady, the journey, the trip, the venture, everyone knew that the clock would strike midnight at some point, and it appears to finally be doing so right now. Because the for now, the you know, for good is not a for now. Last year kind of did still feel like a for now, like we couldn't believe it, and then he came back, as we all know. This for good seems real. So now, what's the plan? What do you got for me at quarterback for this team right now?
They don't have anybody. I mean, they got Kyle Trask, you know, who's the only quarterback under contract. And, you know, Kyle has been here 2 years trying to learn a system that he's no longer going to play in.
Wow. That's right.
You know, he's not been a quick study anywhere he's been. He's always been that guy that had to grind his way to his starting job, whether it was at Florida or wherever. So, you know, the plan before Tom unretired the first time was to bring Blaine Gabbert back and let him and Trask battle it out. You know, that's why Arians bowed out, didn't want to leave him a bad team, whatever. I think now a lot will depend, Rich, on who they hire as an offensive coordinator. And, you know, they've interviewed a lot of guys, like seven guys. I think the guy that's probably the best for the job might be Todd Monken, although I'm not sure why he would leave Georgia after two national championships. But, okay, he makes $2.1 million. If they gave him $3 million for 3 years, would that do it? I don't know. But the one thing I know about Todd is that he worked a year in Cleveland, loved Baker Mayfield, loves him. So do you go that route? Do you go the free agent? Let's see if we can catch lightning in a bottle, Geno Smith type thing. Or, do you swing for the fences, which is what the Glazers have wanted to do. They want to stay relevant, right? But at some point, you got to get your house in order, too. So, you know, if Derek Carr were to not be traded and becomes a free agent sometime in before March, you know, are you trying to get him? Are you, you know, I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to be traded to an NFC team, so that seems unlikely. There's just not a lot of great options. So having said all that, you know, there are guys out there that they can maybe live with that will, you know, function with the football team. But the first thing is get the cap right. You know, they don't pick. They have the 19th overall pick. They have to knock it out of the park in the draft somehow. You probably would want to maybe bring a quarterback with you. I mean, that's the other thing. Stetson Bennett was very functional in Munkin's offense. You don't know if that would be an option for them later in the draft. So they're looking at everything and anything, but I tend to believe that they're also going to have to, like I say, get their house in order. But it was worth it, Rich. It was worth the ride, man. This was Brady's second act. He'll always be a Patriot, and he won all those Super Bowls and played all those years there, but it was a pretty damn good second act, and I think he enjoyed his time here. And if you look at what he did, he threw for 15,000 yards or something like that, and got him to the playoffs 3 years in a row, won 2 division titles and a Super Bowl. Not too bad.
Unbelievable.
Not too bad at all.
It's spectacular. I mean, worth every moment, worth every ounce of getting him and, you know, waiting out last year and, you know, this past year and whatever the next iteration at quarterback is going to be, whoever it's going to be, worth every single dime or time spent or blood, sweat, or tear, all of it. I totally agree. But when you say big swing for the fences, you know, I'll throw a name out. You tell me if this is totally insane or not. But, you know, he wants to play in the state of Florida. He's from the state of Florida. I know it's not South Florida. It's Central Florida. What about going in the complete opposite direction and seeing if Lamar Jackson's available? And if the Ravens do want to somehow move on or they can't come to some agreement, that this is hammered out for the next quarterback to be the exact stylistic opposite of Tom Brady. Any thoughts on that at all?
Well, I mean, he would definitely fall under the, you know, the big swing category.
That's what I'm saying.
The biggest, right? I mean,
I'm kind of sitting here about what big swings. If they are interested in one, I think Rodgers never would the Packers want to trade him in
no,
conference.
Lamar Jackson makes sense because he's coming from the AFC.
Right.
And he's a Florida guy. If somehow they got stuck, you'd have to make that phone call, right? See where they're at. Because, like I said, some of these coordinators they're looking at, like a Shea Tierney, for example, you know, he's the quarterback's coach for the Giants. I mean, what did he do with Daniel Jones? That looked pretty good, right? So you can do some stuff depending on who you hire as a coordinator and make an offense that works for Lamar Jackson, no question about it. And look, there's still some pretty good players down here. Last time I checked, even though Mike Evans will be in his 10th year, which is hard to believe, Chris Godwin will be a year removed from the ACL injury. You know, they've still got some guys and that would be okay. You know, if he did that, you'd still be calling me next year. That would be fine.
You know what? I knew you would say that. Look, Rick, you and I, just because Brady's not there doesn't mean that I'm like new phone who dis, you know, with you. Okay. Like, I am fascinated by the Buccaneers, no matter who is the quarterback, all right? You have my word, all right? I'm not going to be one of those, like, who? Look, man, thanks for the Brady years, but see you later. Trask, get out of here. You know what I mean? That sort of thing. I'm not going to do that.
I understand. We had a good time together for 3 years. We should stay in touch, absolutely, and I'm there for you, Rich. And hopefully they'll make this interesting. I hope they learn something from these Brady years and they can stay relevant. But there's only one GOAT, so it may not be as frequent. But yeah, absolutely. I hope we hear it from each other a lot. That's
you know, look, Rick. I think I called you when Winston was the quarterback, right? I mean, didn't I?
No, you did. I mean, know you've never.
Did I?
I'm loyal, man. I'm always. You'll never lose my number.
I mean, are you saying you wear the scars of the Sean King years still? I mean, is that what you're saying? Even though he did play in an NFC Championship game. You know what I mean?
Look, Winston was not an easy ride. You know, there were 33 interceptions in there somewhere that I had to endure. And
that was the last year. That's why they went to Brady, right?
I know. Yeah, absolutely. And that was 5 years of my life that I will not get back. But then, you know, for 12 years they didn't make the playoffs. So who am I to complain? I just, you know, we had this carpet ride, and it always be part of the Tom Brady always be part of the Bucs lore. And listen, if they erect a statue of him, and I think they probably will, it better be not the classic quarterback pose.
Yes.
They need to have him tossing that Lombardi trophy over a stream of water to Cameron Brate, who, by the way, had two of the biggest receptions of Tom Brady's career. The last touchdown pass he ever threw, and the Lombardi trophy across the Hillsborough River. So there's a guy you need to talk to.
See, this is why I'm calling you. Or even if Josh Freeman comes out of retirement and takes the job, I'm calling you. Okay? You hear me?
Absolutely.
That's my word, and it is bond. It is a bond. Thanks for the call, Rick. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Anytime.
All right. Talk to you in 10 years. Take care, Rick. Thanks for the call. That's Rick Stroud, everybody.
Where's that ball? Where's the last touchdown ball?
You okay, said, so, no, hold on. Let's take a break. We're coming back. We're going to talk about it. 844-204-RICH, number dial. And Groundhog Day, what sports Groundhog Day would you want to relive? I know there's one on the phone line. We'll take that. And there's a couple more to come. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Which day would you want to relive sports-wise on Groundhog Day? It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
NetSuite wants to make sure you know your numbers, because if you don't know your numbers, you don't know your business. It's that simple. If you have poor visibility because you are relying on spreadsheets and outdated finance software, you are in trouble. To see the full picture, you need to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle. That's the answer. If you're using all that outdated equipment and software, NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth. You get visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, budgeting, and more. NetSuite's everything you need to grow all in one place. With NetSuite, you can automate your processes, close your books in no time. You stay well ahead of your competition. Already 32,000 businesses plus use NetSuite. For the new year, NetSuite is a new financing program for those ready to upgrade. At NetSuite.com/RichRadio. Head to NetSuite.com/RichRadio for this special one-of-a-kind financing offer on the number one financial system for growing businesses. NetSuite.com/RichRadio. All right, so it's been well established that Mike Evans takes valuable footballs thrown to him by Tom Brady and flips them in the stands, because he flips them all in the stands. We had him on prior to the playoff game against the Cowboys, and I'm like, dude, what are you doing? And he says, that's what I do.
This is what he does. Anything.
He said he wasn't going to stop doing it. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, this wound up being Tom Brady's last game. Thankfully for Brady, Cameron Brate grabbed the ball. I'm assuming that ball is in Tom Brady's possession. Or the Buccaneers' possession. Except They went for two, right?
They went for two, yes.
And it went to Evans, right?
Went to Mike Evans, yes.
And what have you gleaned?
Well, after watching it, Brate caught the touchdown, right? So as you watch Brate go through the celebrations, he's still holding on to the ball.
Okay.
So I'm assuming that ball made it to the sideline. Yes. No one knew it was going to be last one. Evans caught the ball in the right corner of the end zone. He caught the two-point conversion. There's a camera shot from behind him. He catches the ball. He stands up and just chucks the ball away.
So it did not make the stands.
It didn't make the stands. He just dropped it off in the corner of the end zone.
What's with him?
We don't know where that ball is.
Wow. But that's not...
Somebody had to grab it.
That's not the ball that's going to go to auction and get like $1 million.
But that was his last scoring play, though.
It's his last scoring play.
Scoring play, but it's not a touchdown. It's actually a dead play. It doesn't count for anything.
Of course it does.
Yeah, if you have the ball, it counts
for two.
No, but it doesn't count.
Brady doesn't get
2 yards for that. He doesn't get a completion.
But he gets 2 points on his points total, doesn't it, for his entire career?
No, only in fantasy.
Yeah, maybe not.
Mike Evans does. Mike Evans gets the 2 points.
But the number of points that he has
put on the board.
You want the touchdown ball.
I would agree the touchdown ball is far more valuable. But the last one, Evans did not throw in the stands he did like career touchdown 700 combined for playoffs and regular season.
Right.
Now, if that guy who got that 700th football, that 700th touchdown football flipped to him and got all those,
got a lot for it,
would he want to relive that day?
Or and was it Byron?
Day? I think
so. Well, no, right. Wasn't it Byron Kennedy? He called into the show.
Yeah.
He called into the show. And he would relive the day and sell his crypto on the spot.
Because
he got money in Bitcoin, right?
Yeah. He got one Bitcoin, which is like 60K at the time.
And just say, still pretty high. Don't hold on to that.
It's not 60K.
He'd relive that moment. Mike Evans comes up to him each time.
$4,000, Mike.
But look, he'd hold out for more
on like day 10.
Well, right? You couldn't hold out for more, Rich, because it turned out to not be the last one, so he couldn't hold out.
No. That was a different one.
That was a different
one. That was the one when this guy caught a milestone 700th career touchdown pass for Brady, regular and playoff seasons combined. There was a dude who caught who got the one
that we thought was the last.
The last one in auction. It wasn't flipped to him. He bought it in auction for a ton of money. And when Brady unretired,
he got his money back.
Because it was just the regular old football. it's the Cameron Brate caught one.
That's the one. Where is it?
I'm sure either Brate kept it or gave it to Brady. Right?
Usually the player keeps it.
Yeah,
right?
I doubt Brate.
How do you not give that to Tom Brady?
Brate probably wouldn't have given it to him at the moment because he had no idea. But Brate 1,000% did not spike the ball. He didn't chuck it. He had it in his hand for a few seconds.
I think everybody in that building knew this was the end.
Let's just ask him.
You think?
I'm going to tweet Cameron.
Didn't Ian's report said the day after they all thought like Brady was talking and acting like it was over?
We need Cameron Brady.
Remember,
we talked
to Rick Stroud. I got the podium after it felt like he was saying goodbye.
This is his parents' goodbye. You say goodbye to the media room. But at the time when he grabs the ball, I would be holding on to that if I'm Cameron Brady. Oh, yeah.
I mean, look, that ball's going to put Cameron Brady's kids through college if he held on to it.
He's giving it to Tom Brady. That ball is on Brady's shelf. By the way, I saw, and if the NFL tweeted out or Instagrammed out as well, Brady's first career touchdown pass, and I got it from my two Buckeye honks.
Terry Glenn.
It was Terry Glenn.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Rest in peace.
I got it in my text exchange from the money manager to the Stars, Don Weir, and Breer texted it to me saying, hey, Michigan man threw it with a Buckeye to start his career. I was like, okay, got it. Do you know who called it? Ian Eagle.
No way.
Ian Eagle called Brady's first touchdown pass on CBS.
If I'm not mistaken, a few years ago, there was a big article about what happened to that ball because Terry Glenn threw it in the stands.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we talked about this on the show last year.
That's right. I forgot. Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's why I just had the same reaction that I had last year. Yeah. It's like,
what?
Why are people taking Brady's footballs and throwing them in the stands?
Well, Terry Glenn's a little
back
understandable.
Then, you didn't know if Brady was going to start the next week.
Oh, my God. He was still wearing the emotional scars of the Parcells years. Can you imagine if a coach referred to a receiver these days as she because he thought the player wasn't tough enough? Could you imagine if Parcells had done or some coach had done that today?
They'd probably get fired, right?
Well, reprimanded, to say the least. Hour 3 coming up. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. I see all these phone lines lit, and it gives me great pleasure because we're going to do this whole business of Groundhog Day for sports. Outstanding. 844-204-RICH being the number to dial right here. Did you see the Super Bowl uniforms have been been tweeted out? This is
I saw that. KC's wearing white, right?
Yeah, because there it is. There's Mahomes wearing it. Right there.
That's how they're putting the patches on.
Putting the patches on, and they sew them. The Eagles had a video of the patch being sewn
on. The Eagles wearing the green?
They're the home team and said, we are wearing green.
They wore green against the Patriots, right?
I'd imagine so.
Yeah.
I think they did, didn't they?
That's what I'm trying to remember. Yeah,
I think they did. So they're the home team, quote-unquote home team, that switches back and forth, and they say they're wearing green.
It's going to be a great game. I'm pretty excited.
So many people are asking me, you know, for my opinion. I was on Rex Chapman's pod. It came out today. I recorded it yesterday from home. And I can't tell. Right now, I have no idea. And everyone thought, what a cop-out. I have no idea.
Either one of these teams can win. There's no, like...
Who do we get in? We have one prediction so far, right?
We have
from Eli, right?
We have one, yeah.
Eli chose
said,
the Chiefs.
Eli said Chiefs. It felt like Chris Long was leaning Chiefs.
Well, he's coming on Monday, so we'll get him there. We didn't ask Jesse Palmer. I'll text him.
Yeah. Eagles are still the favorite, 1.5 points.
Oof. Good to know. Hour 3 coming up.